This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello. This is take three. I think this is our third attempt to try to get this recorded.
We've had some prior technical difficulties, yes.
There have been some ball bearing issues that I think we have solved sufficiently for this evening. I want to start out with, we got a compliment from one of our listeners. This listener stated that our last show was very interesting, topical. We sound reasoned like adults who weren't screaming at each other. And we didn't get out of control, like I guess
like we usually do.
Apparently, this person thought we sometimes get out of control.
I thought I was ranting last week a bit. I can't remember when I last ranted.
Maybe it wasn't ranting in the sense that you felt like you lost control, but this listener was very complimentary and said, "Do more of that." I said, "Okay, I'll see what we can do to do more of that." I might lose my mind over a few things tonight, but we'll see how this goes because, you know, Tony is the voice of reason, as we all know.
Just ask my wife.
We will not ask your wife because I don't want to contradict myself already.
Yes.
So speaking of contradictions, this wasn't really on the rundown, but I wanted to talk about Jake Tapper.
Do we really have to talk about Jake Tapper?
Real quick. And you've said in the past,
is this about Jake's sworn vow?
Yes, Jake's sworn vow.
Okay.
So you've said in the past that you feel like Jake Tapper is one of the more reasonable crazies on the left.
Well, that was long in the past because unfortunately Jake, like the rest of his network, has really, I am no longer willing to append anything reasonable or any level of compliment to Jake Tapper because he's simply part of that entire CNN culture, which is just, I don't know. Speaking of CNN, did you see the interview that Mr. Potato did with Jen Psaki, which was, you can't actually, if you look up the definition of fawning toadyism, I know that's two words, so you can look up the definition for both words.
Either word.
Stelter was so far even beneath that pathetic bar. I do not know how the man goes home and maintains any level of dignity. Even the people at his network, and it's all of them, that agree with him were embarrassed for him. Well, it was just embarrassing.
I think Brian Stelter embarrasses himself on a daily basis, so this is just par for the course as far as I'm concerned.
But what did you want to talk about with Mr. Tapper?
I just want to state, so Jake Tapper has said he is no longer going to book any guest who supported, took part in, or any way, shape, or form is involved in the January 6th Capitol storming.
I don't think that's not his vow, though, is it? I thought his vow is what?
The election deniers as well, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, his whole beef is you're not allowed to say that Donald Trump might have won the election.
Right. So prefacing that, 5 days ago, he was reaching out to Josh Hawley, who I believe my betters have told me did not certify the election initially. So apparently,
this is part of the problem with Jake's standards. I don't believe Hawley has ever said he believes Trump won the election.
True.
All Hawley has said is, very reasonably, there are major, major problems with the election, major discrepancies. We've talked about this ad nauseum. Mm-hmm. He wants it to be fully investigated. This is one of the reasons that he did not vote to certify, which of course Hawley was at pains to point out, very similar to my Democratic colleagues who had just done this in multiple previous elections. But I just want to be clear. I haven't read everything that Hawley has said publicly, but I'm pretty sure Hawley has never said Joe Biden is not the president. He wasn't elected. He merely took the position that there were irregularities in this election that did not warrant certification. I'm pretty sure that's his basic position.
I wouldn't disagree with you, but our bettors at the college near where you live told me because Josh Hawley raised his fist on January 6th prior to not certifying the election that therefore he is something. I'm not sure what
right.
the word is.
Well, he's insurrectionist adjacent or something just, like that.
He was there and he didn't full-throatedly back Biden in all facets. So apparently he's a bad guy. But the ironic part is that Jake Tapper wrote a book about the Bush-Gore stolen election. But apparently that was okay because
of course it was
Bush Gore, and Gore obviously won. I don't know that he wrote one about Hillary, but I'm sure he had it in his sock drawer waiting to publish it, right?
Well, I also have been very moved by the many episodes that Jake Tapper has aired in the aftermath of the big Russia collusion lie, where he has abjectly apologized to the American people and called out himself and all the other miscreants at CNN and the lying media for fomenting that atrocious, destructive lie for 3 years, right? I mean, Jake has been all over that.
Yeah, they all have at CNN. They've been very clear that this was Russia, but no actual proof to show that it was Russia. State-sponsored. I believe there was hacking done to the DNC and to Hillary's emails. Apparently the Russians had her emails, but she didn't have her emails. Kind of ironic when you think about it.
No, that's my point. It's a joke. These people are a joke. And even people like our friend who continues to bang on this whole, you know, the big lie while deafeningly silent. It's as if, Chad, it is as if the Russia collusion story never even existed. Mm-hmm. It's been scrubbed from history, Soviet style. Oh, that's over.
Yeah.
That three-year hysteria, mania, pathological delusions. That didn't happen. Oh, you mean the Mueller report actually? Oh, the team that was looking under every nook and cranny of, you know, pipe hitting partisans they actually concluded there was nothing. Yeah. And so all of it was a lie and the dossier has been fully discredited. Mm-hmm. And has anyone, that's gone. That's memory hold. We have always been at war with East Asia and nobody ever said there was Russia collusion.
Well, it served its purpose. It got rid of Trump. That's it. That was the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to get rid of Trump in any way, shape or form. And they did. And before anybody writes in or asks us, Trump will not be reinstated, contrary to what he might believe. Whether he believes it or not, I don't know.
He doesn't believe that.
Even if he does, it doesn't matter because it's not going to happen. Okay.
Sure.
So it's ridiculous to talk about it. It's ridiculous to report it as if it's a news article of any shape or form. It will not happen. Stop talking about it because you're the only one talking about it. You know who we are. Let me talk about the science, because that's the other big issue going around right now. Freedom of Information Act has allowed us to see Anthony Fauci's emails. We've seen them. I think if anybody has been the emails can be framed in two different ways. One, he's the complete buffoon that I think he is, or he was really just trying to hedge his bets because he wasn't sure. My belief is Anthony Fauci is a buffoon, should have been retired long ago, should not have been giving dictates on we should be running the country. And yet he was. Whether he deserved prior to COVID, I can practically guarantee outside of Washington CDC circles, nobody had heard of Anthony Fauci. Nobody heard of this guy. And then suddenly he's the grand all be all of infectious disease, as though he knows everything. And apparently based on his emails, he didn't really want to know everything because he kind of downplayed everything. I'm speaking about the Wuhan virus, and maybe it was engineered and came from a Chinese lab, but we were told we're not allowed to talk about that.
Actually we're now beyond maybe.
Well,
the evidence which has existed from day one, if you're going to put it on a scale, it is now far more likely, based on all of the objective facts that we have known since February of 2020, that this was manufactured in a lab. Now, let's be clear. Nobody knows whether it's intentionally released. Mm-hmm. And we should probably talk a little bit about, because it's surprising to me, although it shouldn't be. Chad, so you've heard the term gain of function,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Most people, because they're not like us and don't want to be bored reading about this nonsense, they don't know what that is. But basically, and neither of us are virologists or epidemiologists, but the basics are that there are scientists in this field who take existing viruses and they essentially supercharge them. They try to make them more virulent, and they're not doing it out of Bond villain motives, although of course it raises very interesting questions about that could certainly be an application. They're doing it in an effort to study pathogens and potential pandemics so that we can combat them in the future. But in so doing, they are manipulating these viruses and making them far more lethal. That is gain of function research. Mm-hmm. The Wuhan lab was one of three labs, it's my understanding, in the world. Now, there may be some we don't know about that are known that we're doing gain of function research for this type of coronavirus, the one in China, and there's two in the United States. And there's all sorts of very inconvenient ties between the Wuhan lab and the National Institute of Health. And one of the guys who was originally funding and supporting this research, who was one of the original signatories on the letter that came out from the supposed experts. Remember when they denounced as witchcraft and gossip all claims that this could possibly have been man-made, man-constructed. And we were told that anyone who believed this was a QAnon conspiracist, was a wacko, should be deplatformed and should be silenced and all of that. And our friend immediately declared anyone who's even talking about this is a racist. And yet, how surprising now, because apparently the memo has gone out and they realize they can't keep the lid on this anymore. No, it appears that many, many scientists from the beginning who actually studied the nature of this virus and the spike protein that it has, which allows it to inject into cells, is very, very unusual, is not really replicable in nature. The fact that these bats are 1,000 miles from where Wuhan is, and there has never been any other interspecies leap from bat to human. All of this are markers of an artificially enhanced virus. And now suddenly, once again, Dr. Fauci, we have emails, someone telling him, the telltale sign of this is that it's potentially engineered. And now all of a sudden it's okay to talk about it. How surprising.
Donald Trump lost. That's why we can talk about it. Because
that's right.
While I don't think it was maliciously designed in the United States, I put nothing past China.
Absolutely.
Nothing China tells me, and anybody who does trust China is a fool because they are not in your best interest. But I believe that Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste?
That was Rahm.
There was a crisis. Joe Biden existed, and he was their best hope for looking milquetoast, and they want to get rid of Donald Trump. So let's basically milk this for everything it's worth. Let's hide anything that makes Donald Trump seem legitimately right on anything. And as long as he's saying it, we can definitely say, with Donald Trump, he mismanaged.
Well, not only that, they couldn't have China. Well, there's so many motivators here. Okay, yeah. So we could talk all day long about the incestuous financial relationships, which is one of the main drivers of this. But it was also, we can't allow in the middle of an election cycle the attention to be focused to a communist government, a gangster government, and the possibility that they did this either through incredibly lax safety standards or possibly an intentional release. We don't know. That couldn't be permitted to dominate the news cycle. So that just had to be completely suppressed.
Right. Well, you say accidental or on purpose. either direction is my same point. There is nothing to trust about China. Either their security was so lax and so incompetent that this got out, or they intentionally are horrible human beings trying to kill their own population. Oh, wait a minute. They do that already. So does it shock you? No. And I was reading a book, and it wasn't about this, but it was about another pandemic. And they talked about you test this on your own people first to see what it does. So you'd have to have a repressive government or a malicious government willing to test it on your own population to see what the results are in a somewhat controlled environment. And that is what possibly could be happening. We don't know. What I do know is I believe it came from Wuhan. It's the Chinese virus in my mind. It doesn't really matter what anybody else calls it, but it does make me question why should I trust the science when the science just keeps changing? It never seems to be standard. And it was
never science to begin with.
Politics.
And I just find it incredible. I shouldn't say that. There's nothing that's incredible and nothing actually surprises me. But that this whole idea that we're not supposed to call it the Chinese virus and that it's somehow wrong. Again, this is a communist dictatorship. Now, oh, sure, they've adopted many Western practices related to their financial sector, their economy, because they want money.
Sure.
But they have over a million Uyghur Muslims in concentration camps. They assassinate political enemies. They have prisons and torture rooms. And geez, what was that little thing at Tiananmen Square? these are this government. And see, that's the thing, this game that people play where, oh, it's racist to call it the Chinese virus. Nobody actually thinks that you're referring to the hardworking, oppressed Chinese citizen when you're saying that. You're referring to a government that intentionally lies and propagandizes and doesn't tell the truth about anything. And to your point, its people are meaningless to them. They are pawns. And if they have to sacrifice, as they have for decades with their one-child policy, forced abortion, sterilization, etc., they will do whatever. The ends justify the means to the point of killing people who oppose their regime. And the idea that the World Health Organization and the Biden administration and the media are just parroting anything. Oh, well, China says that couldn't have happened. Here's the timeline from China. We should accept that at face value. It's we think that you are so stupid that you will actually accept this.
Well, stupidity, but the fact that you can call it an Indian variant, South African variant, or the British variant, and that's okay, but calling it the Chinese virus is somehow racist.
If you wanted to, you can go back down a YouTube wormhole, and there are a whole bunch of compilations of the media calling it this up and until Trump called it that. Exactly. And then it was a curse. It was a racist curse that could not be uttered. Yep. It's so laughably transparent. And yet this is the playbook every time.
It is. So I feel like if you want people to trust the science, then make it about the science and the facts of the science, not what I believe they mean. I've heard people say, well, it's without context, it doesn't mean anything. Well, that might be true, but I can't every other day wonder, do I need a mask? Don't I need a mask? And I keep saying this to my friends. It breaks down as soon as you think about it. As soon as you think about this whole masking and PPE and all the protective equipment, when you go into a restaurant, even a couple months ago, you could eat without a mask on. But the waiter or waitress was wearing a mask. Why? I don't have a mask on. I'm breathing all around me, and all the other diners are breathing all around me. But somehow that's okay because this magical 6 feet exists. And as soon as I get up to walk, I put a mask on because I'm told to, not because there's any science that says anything makes any sense. I'm not suggesting you shouldn't wear a mask. You should wear a mask. I'm saying if it doesn't make logical sense, why do we keep doing these things and keep telling people to do these things? Don't wear masks in March last year.
We keep telling people to do these things because the whole point was essentially social control. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't people who genuinely believe that masks had efficacy, and we didn't know the full extent of that. And so I don't have a problem with initially saying, well, in confined spaces, you should wear masks. It certainly can prevent droplets. But to your point about the science, there have now been randomized trials of this. Okay. So that's the best kind, right? In the field, they did one in Europe. I think it was in Sweden. We've talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I think it was at least thousands of people over a period of months. Some had masks, some did not. It's a randomized trial, which is the gold standard. Mm-hmm. And it's not one of those that can be dismissed as, well, you had the wrong control group and you didn't factor in these variables. And what did that study, the largest study that has been done to date, as far as I'm aware, unless one has been subsequent to it, it demonstrated there was no statistically meaningful difference in terms of transmission, in terms of case numbers for the people that were wearing the masks and the people who weren't. Now, does that mean it's proven something? Not necessarily, but what it does mean is that the people that are striding out to the podium saying, we know, and what you need to do is put on a mask, then wrap your head in cellophane, then put on an astronaut helmet, then get in your car and don't leave. They don't have any more idea. And all we wanted from these people, all that anyone should have expected, is the unvarnished truth where they say, here's what we know, which is very little. Mm-hmm. And here's what we don't know, which is a whole bunch. And I would have been fine if Dr. Fauci, instead of coming out there like some high priest, had said, for me personally, because the medical data is inconclusive, mm-hmm. I recommend that Americans err on the side of wearing masks. And you know what? There would have been a whole bunch of people that would have done that. Instead, he decides he's going to be an autocrat and he's going to lie and he's going to say, I'm appealing to my credentials as a very important personage in the Beltway swamp. And we're going to just make these declarations and we're going to cast out as heretics anyone who dares to question openly, well, wait a minute, but yeah, see, that doesn't seem to track any of the other information. And so those people are just to be ostracized. And you know what? Here's the thing, Chad. Had they actually done that, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have lost the confidence in the population, in the citizenry, after they see, oh, these people are just political shills. Right. They're just making it up as they go along because it fits their current narrative.
Well,
and that will never get back their credibility. Well, never.
I was having a conversation with my daughter about something else. And I said, once you lose credibility with somebody, it's really hard to get that back. You can't replace it just by saying, I'm sorry. You know, you've lost any sense of listening to these people, because if I feel like you lied to me about this, what else aren't you telling me that you've also lied to me about? And you always have that doubt, lingering doubt. I mean, look at relationships. If somebody cheats, the other person is always thinking, hey, they didn't pick up the phone right away. They didn't call me back. They're probably cheating. That's the first thing your mind goes to, because you assume they've done it once, they'll do it again. And it's probably true. So if the scientists make it a political job, and Fauci would tell you, I'm not a politician, but you're acting like one. So if you're acting like one, then you are one. Whether you want to believe that about yourself or not, you may be a doctor as well.
You're worse than a politician, because we can remove politicians. You're an unelected bureaucrat who has assumed moral authority and unearned expertise in the way that you're framing this. And again, these are life and death issues, literally. And so you again, Fauci admitted a couple months ago, you know, I was fudging the numbers on, I forget exactly what variable, on like the number of cases, because basically the people just couldn't handle the truth. You know, they're a bunch of infants. And so I need to gauge what I can spoon feed them. Mm-hmm. They just weren't ready to hear what the actual truth was. Well, okay. Now, I mean, you've outed yourself as a noble liar. Yep. That's not actually noble, but it is lying. And so I choose not to believe anything that you say. And why should I?
Well, when you make the late night talk show rounds, you've become a joke. I'm sorry. You might be culturally appropriate right now, but I look at you as a joke, as an authority.
Why did Dr. Fauci, conscience of the nation, chief epidemiologist, man about town. Did Dr. Fauci ever make any statement about what Andrew Cuomo and other blue state governors did in forcing the most vulnerable of our population back into nursing homes, which caused thousands to die? Has he made a single – now, he's made a lot of statements about Donald Trump and his inability, his Cro-Magnon inability to listen to science. But you know what? Donald Trump never actually issued an order that forced sick people among the most vulnerable in our population and literally caused people to die. Dr. Fauci has been deafeningly silent about any of that.
Well, I will subscribe to something Ben Shapiro says. Two things can be true at once. Donald Trump can be an unnice person and still be right. And you can be a very nice person and still be wrong. Being nice doesn't mean you're right, and being mean doesn't mean you're wrong. The two don't have to go together.
Well, we don't even have to talk about Trump.
No,
we've talked about this before, which is there are hundreds of frontline doctors, experts in this field. These are not meteorologists.
Right.
They're not podiatrists. These are people at Stanford, people across Europe who are leaders in the field. They've been silenced. They've not only been silenced, they have been personally attacked and smeared by their peers. And for what, Chad? For what? For daring to present information to the public that said, you know what? Perhaps masks aren't as efficacious as we thought. We're not actually even drawing any hard conclusions. We're offering this information. Oh, and by the way, here's some therapies that we're using that have been actually effective for large numbers of people. Are we claiming it's a cure? No. Are we claiming it's a magical potion? Are we claiming that you shouldn't use other methods? No. Those people were deplatformed. Their videos were yanked off of social media. They were attacked by their credentialing bodies.
Mm-hmm.
And again, for literally daring to present information that might have saved people's lives.
It's sad when you think about it. I want to transition to somebody else who's also bad at their job. That would be Kamala Harris. I believe she was
appointed. Is she even doing a job? What is her job?
In the quote from, I think, the early part of the 20th century, vice presidency is a warm cup of spit. He actually used a different term, but basically, that's what vice president.
Did you see, before you get into this, did you see that she passed out cookies on Air Force Two that have her likeness? These are Harris cookies. So it literally has like icing, and then, but she doesn't have a face like in that Star Trek episode where the little kid like made everyone's faces go away, which I thought was a little creepy. But I'm thinking, It has the earmarks of something that Obama would have done too, right?
Yeah, it does sound very Obama-like.
Here's a cookie of me. What did Obama do the one time where didn't he give, I think he gave the Prime Minister of England, I don't know, who was it at the time? So it would have been, who was the Prime Minister during Obama's first term?
Was it still Tony Blair?
I don't remember. But anyway, he gave them a disc of audio tapes of all of his greatest speeches, which is the perfect gesture. And so this is Kamala. Have a cookie with me on it.
Well, wasn't she giving out her
to the media,
to the unaccompanied minors at the border? I mean,
yes.
So Kamala Harris was assigned as the border czar by Biden, I'm sure, because he knew it wouldn't stain him if it stained her. She's not been to the border. Her team came out and basically said, well, she's looking at the root causes of migration, of illegal migration, not actually solving illegal migration. So she's going to go to Guatemala and give money to Guatemala, which will keep people from not crossing the border. Sure.
I bet I know, Chad, what the root cause is.
He opened the Biden said, come as you are.
No. it's the root cause for everything, Chad. What is the root cause?
Money.
Systemic racism.
Oh, well, yes. That's the politically correct way of saying it. I think it's money. Money is the root cause of coming across the border. Don't let you kid yourself. I have a fix for the border crisis. That's a political.
Let's hear it.
It's not a physical fix. So I have no solution to keep people from coming, probably, but I have a solution to fix the border crisis from a political standpoint and to fix the statehood problem. All right.
That's a pretty sweeping solution.
It's a one solution for two problems. I call that a really good solution. Okay. So for the border crisis, we allow everyone who wants to come across the border to come across the border with one caveat. They can only vote for Republicans for their entire lives. You can become a citizen, but you can only vote Republican. You cannot vote for any other party for the rest of your life. Your children will have the choice of which party they want to vote for if they're born here. If they're 1 second old when you cross the border, they must vote Republican their entire lives. Okay?
Well, you wait a minute. Let me just stop you, because you understand that that is the current solution, except they are to vote for Democrats.
Agreed.
So this is the solution that's been implemented so far.
But I think the Democrats go, whoa, whoa, whoa. If we're not going to get them as voters, we don't want them here either. They'll suddenly get tough.
No, how cynical of you, Chad.
Same thing for D.C. and Puerto Rico statehood. The governor, all members of Congress, and all legislative bodies in both places would be Republican for 50 years. No other option. You will vote. You will only elect.
So basically just say, listen, just like Detroit, Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Oakland, sure. St. Louis, sure. Go down the list. I mean, it that shouldn't be a problem.
Call their bluff. That's what I'm saying. Call their bluff. Because at the end of the day, this is about power and money. And they only want more votes in Congress because they want D.C. and Puerto Rico statehood suddenly. And they only want more illegal immigrants because they want them to vote Democrat. That is the end all and be all of this entire situation. The border crisis goes away if the Democrats don't get something from it. Guaranteed. You'll put up a wall the next day. The wall will start being put up. D.C. statehood's off the table. Puerto Rico statehood's off the table. Done. Problem solved. Call their bluff. I'm tired of playing mealy mouth and acting like we're going to try to come with a solution. The solution is no. D.C. constitutionally cannot be a state. Change the Constitution or shut up. Now, Puerto Rico keeps voting not to become a state. So I don't know what Congress has to do there. They don't want to be a state. You can keep telling them they want to be a state. They don't want to be a state. Put the border up. If you're not coming here for persecution, for religious reasons or political reasons, or you fear for your life, you don't come in. Done. End of story. I don't care how poor you are. We can obviously provide aid and support because we keep doing that in your countries. We just don't give it to the governments of those countries because apparently they can't work it well. But make them all Republican and suddenly the problem goes away, because Democrats will never agree to that. AOC will never say, that sounds like a great idea. Let's do that. You know that.
Well, sure. And in fact, if we could do an experiment in another universe where instead of having individuals that Democrats are convinced are going to be likely voters for their pet causes, if let's just say to our southern border, we had all the remnants of the Soviet bloc. We had all these Eastern Europeans who had suffered under communism, and they were flooding over the southern border to the tune of hundreds of thousands a month. Mm-hmm. The Biden administration would right now be busy building a wall higher than the Burj Khalifa to prevent that demographic shift mm-hmm. from coming into this country. So, of course, everyone understands. And we could have an entirely separate conversation about legitimate immigration policy in terms of what should we be promoting? Is there an optimal number? Should we actually be focusing on higher skilled individuals? How do we define refugees? We've talked about the fact that there is a distinction not only in the law, but in my view, in sort of circumstances and the morality of someone who's a genuine refugee, and those people exist and we should help them. And people who are economic migrants, people who are not fleeing from specific hardship. Sure, are they in countries that you or I would never want to be in? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I've said this repeatedly. And the supposed question you get, the aha, is, and what would you do? And I say, I would do exactly what they're doing, which is try to find a better life for my family. But that does not dictate and should not dictate immigration policy. And in fact, it is not immigration policy for any other country in the world, including all of those supposedly enlightened, compassionate European countries that all all of our betters tell us we should be emulating, and yet none of them are even close to advocating that kind of policy. And you're correct. At bottom, it is only about maintaining and expanding political power. That's all it's ever been about. And you're right. You change the dynamic. You create a situation where they don't believe it's going to add votes, and they will immediately cease all efforts to bring them here.
Not only not add votes, but disproportionately advantage your opponent. That will shut it down quicker than you can imagine. I keep getting this question from different people about Biden's infrastructure bill, and it was more relevant when he first proposed it. But a lot of people are talking about, is the internet infrastructure and some other things. And from an internet perspective, I think it's becoming an infrastructure issue. If you'd asked me this 20 years ago, I said no. But I think today, because so much of what is out there is online, I don't mean from an entertainment perspective, just from an information perspective, I think it's becoming almost necessary to have some sort of internet connection for a household. So like not so much like power and water and gas or whatever you heat your house with, but I still think it's approaching that level. So should there be government involvement in that? I wish if you just made it non-monopolistic, I think we'd solve a lot of that. But the fact that it's monopolistic and you give people the right to keep others out keeps the prices high, keeps the quality low, whether or not that changes it. But a lot of people have ascribed certain characteristics to infrastructure. And I've seen people, I mean, even Biden's bill was, what was it, daycare was infrastructure.
Oh, sure. Everything's infrastructure.
Yeah. I saw an article.
Any pet?
Yeah.
Long-time Democratic policy dream to expand government into every nook and cranny is now infrastructure. And I have to laugh because our friend has been busily providing article after article explaining on sort of an intellectual and historical level why infrastructure doesn't just mean roads and bridges. It can mean massive funding for naked interpretive social justice dancing. I mean, it's just absurd. Infrastructure only means these are things that we want, and we're going to lard up whatever legislation that we can think of, and then we're going to try to pass it with reconciliation, although the parliamentarian has decreed they can only use that boondoggle one more time in the calendar year. I actually, does the parliamentarian sit down in some like precog electrolyte bath? Like, where is the parliamentarian?
I do not know where this parliamentarian sits. Do they sit in Congress and listen to all the blowhards?
I don't know. I don't even know who the current, but I'll tell you what, this is an individual that wields a significant amount of power that everyone defers to. Like, oh yeah, this current bill, which actually has nothing to do with budgetary items, I still think it's susceptible to reconciliation. The internet thing for me is really an irrelevant issue right now because they're just throwing the kitchen sink in and calling it infrastructure. Money to bail out the California because of their horrific governor, who he's now using those funds to help him in his fight against the recall election. That's fantastic. You and I are funding Gavin Newsom's attempt to cling to his governorship in La La Land.
I heard somebody call it the deadbeat dad summer. Cuomo and Newsom basically larding up whatever gimmies and perks they can give their state so they can keep a hold of power. But back to this infrastructure thing, our friend brought up local journalism as civic infrastructure. And his source of this comes from John Quincy Adams' first address to Congress in 1801. And it wasn't published for 24 years later. I would say to this statement, he may be a historian, but Thomas Jefferson also said there should be a separation of church and state in a letter once, and that's what we based all of our school and religion based on, a letter, because a founding father wrote a letter to somebody one time does not make it policy, does not make it true. It makes it this person's opinion. That's all it is. And I get tired of being told constantly, our friend and others, that whatever I feel like is infrastructure. Whatever I need is infrastructure. Whatever boondoggle I think will help us, you know, solar power, wind power, water power, you know, I actually saw a video on YouTube about using the flushing volume from a toilet to generate electricity using a turbine in the toilet exhaust. I'm like,
excellent.
Okay. So it expands way beyond anything that should be done. And here we are dealing with this. I said all that because Joe Biden has proposed more money in the first 4 months of his presidency than we have.
Do you think that Joe Biden even understands right at this stage the difference between billions and trillions? Really, I'm asking that seriously. Because most people, you know, if you listen to people who are partisans, who are involved in, again, the sausage making process, where they're, you know, they're throwing out these ridiculous numbers for budgets, money that we don't have. What's the current national debt? 22 trillion now. And what they will all say, I've heard this, is look, the public is generally, once you start talking about numbers that are that big, they're innumerate. They don't even mean anything. And I don't think Joe Biden has any understanding whatsoever of what a $6 billion or $6 trillion or $6 quintillion dollar budget actually means, the distinction there, how much that represents of the overall budget. To your point, it's more than we have. It's an absurdity.
Well, it's an absurdity because I don't know that Joe Biden knew what that was 40 years ago. He's not a deep thinker, in my opinion. I don't find him to be setting the world on fire with his thoughts. I mean,
he wasn't setting the world on fire with his thoughts when he was not, and I say this with no disdain or mockery, in the throes of dementia. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry, but you're going to have to convince me otherwise. Okay. This guy is not oriented in many instances to time and space. And I'm sure he has his moments of clarity and he's got all of his handlers and they can feed him whatever. But no, you're right. I mean, he never, look, most of these people aren't. And particularly people who are of the persuasion that we can, like AOC, we just keep printing more money. What could go wrong?
It's easy. It's easy. I only brought that up because infrastructure to me is roads, bridges, electrical grids, waterways, things like that. They're water support sources. I don't think all these extra things, you can define it any way you want, but I shouldn't be paying for it. That shouldn't be part of my tax bill. If you want to tax a local constituency for that, then fine. That's up to you and they can vote yay or nay on what they want to do with that. But it shouldn't be a national thing because I truly believe, and prior to Lincoln, that's how it was. Everything was regional. National was just basically common defense, certain roads, bridges, and railroads. And that was it. You didn't have a lot of national federal funding because I think people misunderstand. They hear, oh, there's federal funds available. Where do you think that money comes from? It comes from all of us. It doesn't come from the federal government. I mean, they may be writing the check, but it doesn't come from them. And I keep trying to get people to understand this. Every time you get a federal payment or a federal tax credit or a federal something, that came from somebody else, including you, to pay for it. It didn't just magically appear and didn't have any impact on your life. It did. It made everything else cost more. If you get a federal subsidy for solar something or an electric car, that costs us more. It's not free. And people don't understand that free is not what you think it is. There is no free, no free lunch. Never was, never will be.
You're just cruel and heartless.
Well, that's probably true too.
You don't want people to have nice free things.
if you show me something free, then that's fine, but I haven't seen it yet. I want to talk about reform GOP style because this hit me And I was just reading an article. I think I've talked about this before. I get a weekly newsletter from my former state representative. I don't live in that area anymore, but I still get the email. And they're talking about a reform bill to approve openness and transparency and limit lobbyist influence on the government. Sounds good up to a point, right? Say, oh, that's great. We want to limit these special interest groups who are causing us to spend more and tax for other things that we don't really want. My concern, and this is coming from the GOP, this is the Republican side of things. Why are we limiting the lobbyists and not the Congress? Why isn't it the people who are partaking of this largesse being the ones limited instead of, because if you say you can't take it, then suddenly it doesn't happen as frequently because then you're breaking a law. If you just limit the lobbyists, they'll find another way around it because you still want it. They never limit themselves. They limit other things. And that bothers me.
Of course. Any proposal, okay, this goes back to, you know, John McCain was a famous campaign finance reform, and this was a bipartisan issue. It's folly.
Yeah.
The only way you are going to limit, minimize, reduce the amount of money flowing into the government is to shrink the size and power of the government. Why are those people there? Why are those parasites all there funneling money there? Why? Because they know they're going to get something out of it because the government is powerful enough to give them all manner of benefits. This is exactly how big tech operates. It's exactly how every corporation in the world operates. And the idea that you are somehow going to magically, let's limit the money. And what it usually always comes down to is we have to limit some kind of speech. The solution is if you make government stop steroidally enhancing the size and the reach of government, these people have no reason to exist. They will have no reason to lobby for billions of dollars in contracts and graft and pork. That is the only solution. Mm-hmm. All the rest of it is window dressing, and it's actually usually framed in a way that, in my view, intrudes on constitutional liberties. So there's an easy solution to this that no one, to your point, none of the people that are in government want that solution because that's going to change their nicely feathered bed and make it a far more uncomfortable sleep for them. So I have no patience for any type of campaign finance reform, election reform, lobbying reform. The reform is, how about we eliminate, 94% of the alphabet soup agencies that suck up trillions of dollars of your and my money to do either nothing or actually things that are antithetical to my family and yours. Just eliminate them. Just pick them. Pick half of the alphabet. Pick an agency that starts with that letter and just wipe it off the books. You want to eliminate lobbying? You just eliminated probably, 5,000 lobbyists who are all shilling for something to those agencies who can give them access.
Yep. Well, and I would say that there's probably a lot of these agencies that duplicate services and don't need to exist.
Our government, Chad, is a hyper-competent, non-duplicative. There's no duplication. There's no waste. There's no fraud. None of that. None of that is going on.
Here's a fact that should scare everyone. The IRS currently has 72,000 employees. They are in the process of hiring 87,000 additional employees. If you think the IRS is there to help you, you are a fool. They are there to collect as much money from you, and your goal is to give them the least amount of money you need to legally. So you're at cross purposes. The IRS is not there to be your friend. They are there to take your money in any way, shape, or form. And if they hire additional 87,000 employees, I can be quite certain that will be more audits and more time spent on each and every return to get more out of you.
Yeah, and here's a memo to the people like Elizabeth Warren who are constantly shrieking to the heavens about the evil corporate abuse of the tax code and all of those nefarious loopholes and inversions. And guess what? You happen to be a member of the greatest deliberative body in the world that's part of our Congress. See, you can eliminate all of those legions of lawyers and accountants and forensic accountants and overseas investment advisors. You know what? How about you cut, 99% of the tax code and implement a system where none of those things actually exist? All those people go away too.
Yep. Yep. You can fix that. You are actually in the exact place to fix that problem.
But it's far more fun and profitable to demagogue and demonize people for, by the way, abiding by the Byzantine regulatory scheme that none of you have actually read because you farmed it out to some boffins in the basement who churn out this stuff. And now all of a sudden you're just incredibly indignant that Exxon is sending its corporate assets overseas. Gee, I wonder why. Or they're Donald Trump was permitted. He was permitted to declare losses for 15 years. Yeah, guess what? That's what the law says. I guarantee you, if he was doing something that was illegal, the IRS would have notified him.
By now, you would think they would have come up across that. You brought up Donald Trump, and I want to finish our last topic here.
Hold on. Wait, I need to insert two topics that are not political because they're sports related. And the first one it was, I just have to point out how greatly I enjoyed the fact that Phil Mickelson at age 50 and 11 months won the PGA championship. Did you pay any attention to that?
I did see just some highlights because I'm not a golf guy. So it was nice to see him because he's been kind of the underdog most of his career. So it was nice to see him win. Yes.
Well, he's only the underdog because he played in the era of Tiger Woods. And so Tiger Woods is the Michael Jordan of golf, and Tiger Woods has won 15 major championships, which is second only to Jack Nicklaus, who has won 18. But Phil Mickelson now, having won his sixth major championship at the age of – by the way, the oldest person in the history of golf, no one who is 50 years of age. I think the record holder prior to that was Julius Boros. I'm sure you know him, Chad. You have a poster of him on your wall, no doubt. Julius Boros at age 48. I think actually also won the PGA, and now Mickelson is the new record holder. But that was – I greatly enjoyed that because he's my favorite golfer, and he deserves that. And I'm hoping now that he somehow manages miraculously to win the U.S. Open as well, so which is a tournament that he has been second in six different times. So that was one of the more enjoyable sporting events. And what made it the most enjoyable, it's, as far as I'm concerned, probably the number of fans who were there. I don't know if you saw any of the scene of kind of the mob when he won walking up 18. It was kind of a mosh pit. I mean, there were thousands of people that were there. And so it was sort of a nice return to – actually, it was not even normal. These crowds were – they had been partaking of certain beverages, I'm sure, for most of the day at Kiowa. But it was great to see just normal fans out cheering for Phil. I thought that was a historic sports moment.
Yeah.
So that was very cool.
My joy from golf is watching the course and all the scenery. That's the best part of it for me. Cause the golf, I couldn't care less. I mean, it's very, you need a lot of skill and I don't have it, but I just don't watch.
Well, and my only other sports note, and this is more of a petty enjoyment, but I am so happy that the Lakers and LeBron have been eliminated from the unwatchable NBA playoffs in the first round. And so now LeBron has many, many hours of free time to investigate further police shootings with his crack team of Twitter investigators so that he can inform us what's going on.
You just enraged somebody on the other side. I think you know that because you dissed on LeBron, not a Lakers fan, but a LeBron fan.
I don't know about that. If the person you're referring to is who I think you're referring to, I actually think he's been pretty outspoken about the fact that LeBron, particularly recently with his completely dunderheaded proclamations about some of these shootings, just needs to be quiet. I don't know about that. Now, I'm sure he was rooting for LeBron and the Lakers to go all the way.
Right.
I'm sick unto death of LeBron, and so I'm very happy to see him removed from the playoffs.
And to be fair, you're a Jordan fan, and you don't want anything.
No. Listen, this has nothing, because I have no concerns whatsoever. I don't care whether LeBron in this watered down, no defense league went on to win 15 championships.
Yeah.
He's never going to be as good as Jordan. And so all of these, you know, 13-year-olds who think that LeBron is the greatest player ever, I couldn't care less, really. So it's not for me about, oh, he can't win any more titles, because he's not even in the conversation for me. So no, I think LeBron is a great basketball player, and I think largely he has conducted his life in a very admirable way. He is also a very poisonous influence, a very, again, literally ignorant individual about the things that he purports to spout off about on social media. He is a divisive influence in our culture, and I just want him – I don't want him to be quiet like you want him to be muzzled. No, feel free to continue spouting all of your know-nothingism, but I think he has transformed from a guy who's done a lot of good to a guy who's doing a lot of not good in the way that he is continuing to inflame people based on completely false and misleading information that he just pumps out there. And do I want to see, I'm not of the left, so I don't want LeBron canceled and I don't want him taken off social media, but I do want him called out. And I enjoy the fact that he's a bit of a prima donna and now his team is out of the playoffs. And I'm happy about that.
Totally agree with you. And I'm good with that. I was going to talk about Donald Trump and being banned for 2 years on Facebook, but I don't really care about that because I don't read Facebook and I don't know why anybody cares one way or the other. I do want to talk about the USFL coming back next year, because
interesting,
all that is old is new again. Does the USFL without Donald Trump, because they've got rights to the names of the teams. Now, I don't know that it matters, because I don't think most people even remember anything other than maybe the Generals.
So is Vince McMahon, is this the Vince McMahon venture?
No, this is not Vince McMahon. This is another gentleman. I don't know his name off the top of my head, but no, Dwayne Johnson bought the XFL rights, and they're supposed to be coming back in a year or two. Now, this is the USFL, the name and everything that goes with it, in a spring football league, as more of a complement to the NFL instead of a direct replacement for the NFL. And much like the USFL was in the 80s, it was really a bunch of castoffs who couldn't make NFL teams. A lot of money was thrown around. Some college stars who came out, like Herschel Walker and Doug Flutie and Jim
Kelly.
Can't remember his name now. Steve Young. Steve Young was also in the USFL. So a lot of that, there's some hype around it, but I'd like to see a spring league succeed, not trying to be everything NFL, but I would like to see one league, just not to merge. I'm not looking for a merger with the two. I would like something in the spring. I know there was some spring football in college this year because of COVID, but it was from conferences I didn't care about, playing games I didn't care about against other teams I didn't care about. And I don't know any USFL teams. I'm not sure that anybody really cares at this point, but the AAFL and the AFL and the XFL didn't really capture me. So I kind of liked the USFL when it was out. What are your thoughts? Does it appeal to you at all?
Nope.
Nothing. Wow.
I don't have enough room to try to be interested in another football league.
Is so well established that it's hard to even care about another?
Well, again, first of all, I really don't care that much, nearly as much, about the NFL either.
Okay.
For a variety of reasons that you and I have discussed.
Sure.
I think the NFL is still the undisputed king of American sports and will remain that way for essentially the foreseeable future. And I still, of all the sports now, the NFL is by far the one that, I mean, I could not care less anymore. I mean, I've been watching some basketball with my sons. Mm-hmm. They're interested, and I'm not, but I never watch the NBA anymore. And it's because the game has become unwatchable, the way that it's played. Set aside all of the social justice nonsense that's going on. baseball is completely unwatchable in terms of, you know, the I have a friend of mine who is a very, very avid baseball fan. He knows all the statistics historically. And the current major league batting average across all of baseball is now the lowest it's been since the dead ball era.
Yikes.
And so there's something going on where they've tinkered with the ball. Pitching is so dominant. The games take 3 hours. And again, we've talked about this. Other than Mike Trout and Bryce Harper, a man on the street, could they name another baseball player? No. So, and I've just never been a hockey guy. So the NFL is really the only sport that I pay a significant amount of attention to. I'm just not interested in a spring watered down version of football. It's just too much.
If it was in the fall, would you be interested?
So a league that was competing directly against the NFL?
Yeah.
No.
So it wouldn't matter when it played. When it plays.
Okay, so with it. My question would be, why should I watch?
I don't know.
What is it? Because all of the best players are still in the NFL. Now that doesn't mean there aren't other really good players. Because every year, college football cranks out guys that are incredibly talented, but they simply can't crack that league. But how are you going to? That to me is the biggest problem. Is unless you have some baseline of established stars that people want to watch, what it devolves into is a whole bunch of gimmicks, right? We realize we don't have name brands.
Right.
Okay. So now we got to figure out, oh, we've got the, you know, whatever, the overhead, the sack cam or the whatever. And so it just becomes almost like a cartoon.
Well, what is it about college football that's appealing that a level above that, but not quite NFL level, doesn't hold?
Well, because you've got the entire – now, again, in the era of COVID, you don't. But it's just the whole college experience. And so you've got, you know, rivalry histories that, of course, those also exist in the NFL. They don't exist in some manufactured league because they've never – these teams are being birthed from nothing.
Right.
There's, you know, the pageantry, the tradition, the games – here's the thing. The games actually tend to be more exciting because across the board – the players are less skilled, meaning there's great players, but a college football team from player 1 through 56 is not nearly as talented. Every person that's in the NFL is the best of the best at their position, even the guys that are supposedly the scrubs.
Right.
So, but that also, same thing with the NCAA basketball tournament, right? Mm-hmm. It's amateurs who are providing probably a less skilled product, but nevertheless, it's still exciting. I will say this as well. You know, college football, because of the NFL rule, one of the things I think that is ruining college basketball is most of these guys with the one and done era, you don't know any of these guys anymore.
Right.
Right. So it used to be when you had these rivalries with Duke and UNC, you had guys that had been warring it with each other for years. You know, they come up as freshmen and they're there either as through at least their junior year.
Right.
That still exists to a large extent with college football. Most big-time college football players, I think, still have to play, 3 years?
Yep, 3 years.
So that
3 years post-high school graduation. Doesn't mean they have to play, but they can't be drafted for 3 years after the college
graduation. So you have the time to invest your sort of fandom, your emotional energy into the same guys. If college football was one and done, I think it would largely be far less popular than it is now.
I don't disagree. So if another pro league came along and said, after 2 years, you can be drafted. Would that be appealing to see some of these players you've seen for 2 years in college? Now they go to the pros. They couldn't go to the NFL because of the rule. I'm sure the rule would be changed at that point. But if they couldn't go to the NFL, they would be NFL caliber talent, just not able to play in the NFL.
Well, here's the problem. Again, what I think would happen is unless they're throwing, I mean, this is how the USFL got Herschel Walker, right? Walker was the consensus best college football player in the country.
Yeah.
He spurned the NFL. Why? Because the Washington Generals threw at the time an absurd amount of money at him. Because the only guys that drive the ratings, okay, it doesn't matter whether you've got a second year Outland Trophy winning offensive lineman. They don't care about that.
Right.
You need quarterbacks, you need running backs, and you need wide receivers. Now, how many guys who know that they're in line to be a first round draft pick in the NFL are going to come out after their sophomore campaign and join the USFL? Probably not that many.
Probably not. And I'm just trying to think of a way to for another league to compete in any capacity. And maybe if
the only way they could do it is they would literally have to. Now, for instance, the NFL has a salary cap, rookie salary cap.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They would have to be offering several orders of magnitude more money, such that these guys, and here's what the player would have to be thinking. They're offering me so much more. I can go for 2 or 3 years in this other league. I can still get exposure, and then I will immediately better deal myself into the NFL. But unless they are offering a salary package that is that tempting, nobody's going to do it. Well, nobody who's a meaningfully star, like a star player.
What if they brought back something like the World League, but it was just a U.S. developmental league that we've got some players that we assign to 6 or 8 teams. They play 6 games. We get to evaluate them. They get to have some real game experience that we get some film on. We get to decide if they're quality enough to keep on a team, but it's people you've heard of and it's people that you may hear about again. So you're building something. It would have to be some connection to the NFL. I don't think you could do it without that, but I think it would be interesting if they were playing here, not in Europe. I think the Europe thing is, it doesn't appeal. I don't think it appeals to the U.S. and it certainly doesn't seem to appeal to Europe in the way it needs to make it established. And the logistics of travel back and forth are just ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, I think this new league is going to go the same way as all the rest of them. It just, it's the NFL is a colossus, and I don't see any way that another league in that sport, unless they're really in it for the long haul and they have such deep pockets that they can persist even after a few first years where they are hemorrhaging cash. That's the other problem.
Right.
You got to have investors that are willing to say, I'm going to take $500 million in losses for 5 years until we might establish enough of a following and justify outsized TV contracts, which of course is exactly the reason the NFL is such a juggernaut, a cultural phenomenon. I don't think there's enough people with enough deep pockets that are willing to do that for that long.
You could be right. I just feel like there's a gap. Like baseball has the minor league baseball, hockey has minor league hockey. Why can't we have some sort of training ground for football?
We do. It's called Division I college football.
Is it though? I mean, we've talked about it. There's not 32 guys apparently that can play quarterback in the NFL well. So it's not really developing like it should. So there has to be a little bit.
Well, let's put it this way. It's developing well enough that it is still, what's the average value of an NFL franchise?
Oh, the value's high.
$2 billion,
a lot of money.
$3 billion, $4 billion.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's developing well enough for all of those owners to be quite satisfied and all of the partners with the NFL to be quite satisfied with their financial arrangements. And so until that changes, whether you got 15 starting quarterbacks who are relatively mediocre, until people start clicking off, their cable package and saying we don't care to watch the NFL anymore, that's not going to change.
Well, you could be right. I just feel like there's somewhere there that, especially from a quarterback standpoint, you could really use more practice. Because if you're the third string quarterback, you're not getting a lot of reps in practice. You're not really learning how to be anything. And you got to have a phenomenal talent.
But here's the problem, though. You're not going to solve that with a minor league, because the reason that NFL quarterback is so difficult is because nobody can replicate playing quarterback in the NFL. Yeah. It is the one position. For instance, you're a freak athlete, linebacker, all American in college. The NFL game is not going to be that much different. Sure, the players are faster. They're all elite. Quarterback is like dropping guys into a completely new universe, particularly if you've got guys that are coming out of systems that are going to be different than the ones that they have to implement, and the information overload. I mean, I'm convinced the reason that quarterback, there are guys that are incredibly physically gifted, that like Ryan Leaf, okay, go down the list, who simply can't function as an NFL quarterback because they can't process the information. They can't, the game is too fast. They simply cannot figure out how to take in all of that information and do it in a way that they can play effectively. It's not about, well, the guy can throw the ball 80 yards and on a dime. It's all the other stuff that comes with it. And I think it's the only position potentially in professional sports that is like that. That's why it's so difficult. And that's why they pay those guys so much money.
Yeah. Well, you could be right. I don't think we're going to solve it. I just thought it was interesting just to know that USFL coming back again after all these other leagues have tried something. Is there any appetite for nostalgia to watch? I will probably watch the first week or so, but I don't know beyond that if there's anything that's going to hook me. And it's hard to come up with a new team. If you ever tried to change teams, it's hard to come up with a new team.
Well, particularly now since all team names are banned.
Yes.
So they should all just be the such and such football team.
That is
true. Just save us the grief.
Yes. Town name and a color. And maybe, I don't
know. Well, colors, that's risky too. Well, I don't think
only you should rainbow colors, you know, and you got to repeat and different spellings of different ones. So,
right.
You know, the rainbows and the rain something, I don't know. It's a crazy
mix. It just should be just some nonsense words like
Google,
the Jabberwockies.
Google, that was a made up word. Why not Yahoo? Let's pick them. The Tech Billionaires Club. You know, like, whatever. All right, that's all I got. You got anything else to add? You had two little sports things, which is nice.
No, I don't often interject my my itinerary for the show.
I appreciate it.
Because then that's not our that's not how we roll.
It's our dynamic. No,
I don't like knowing, and I don't like offering things in advance that are structured. So I'm good. We should focus on some rants for next time. Okay. And hopefully we won't have similar technical problems.
Well, I'm hoping that you get all the ball bearings aligned and the dilithium crystals put in place for the next.
They are. Yes, okay. They are. And I was frustrated that you weren't listening to my technical advice because we could have solved this very simply. But
yes.
I know that for you, these are growing pains and you've got to learn on the job. So that's just the way this goes.
I appreciate you being so understanding with me.
Yep.
All right.
No worries.
Thanks. Thanks for joining us. I'm Chad.
I'm Tony.
Good night.
This has been a Hannah Tree production.